Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Dr. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Fred Jackson's to my right.
I'm here and getting over weather whiplash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we were here 24 hours ago.
Yes, we were.
70 degrees temperature.
Yeah, a little balmy.
Not today.
No.
Big drop.
36, right?
Yeah.
What do you got there? What do you got there in KC?
We got a pretty chilly 21 degrees this morning and about somewhere between 5 and 7 inches of snow on the ground.
No kidding.
Yeah, it came in. We just got dive bombed with snow over the weekend. You know, in about 24 hours, got 6 or 7 inches.
Notice when weather is discussed, it's post 50 people here.
It's right.
Ray, Tim, and Fred who want to dwell on the weather. Walker doesn't give a rip.
That's right. No, he's not worried about it.
About the weather.
No, he's happy about this. Deer hunting weather.
Yeah, deer hunting weather. That's right. Walker's about to. Lexi's about to be a deer hunting widow for a couple weeks, I think, huh?
Yeah, no other sport or hobby gets me outside in 20 degrees other than deer hunting.
Mm-hmm. It's deer hunting season all across the country. Well,
but you know, I do cheat a little bit, and I utilize all the modern technology to stay warm. Okay. So I've got battery operated socks.
Do those really work?
They do. If you get the, you can't cut corners on that. You've got to fork up, you know, at least $50.
What kind of battery?
Yeah, what kind of battery?
It's a rechargeable. Triple A?
No, it's rechargeable. It's like a lithium ion rechargeable battery.
Oh.
And I don't cut it on until I get in my deer stand because you get warm walking in. So you wait till you sit down and cool off a little bit, and then
How long do they stay charged up and warm?
Oh, I can stay warm a couple hours minimum.
Wow!
I get back in my truck and I have to cut them off. They're still on.
Really? Yep. You know what is it about your extremities? It's your hands.
They
and
get
your,
cold.
It's your hands and your feet.
They do.
Feel like they're about to fall off when you get out there.
Yeah, if you can keep your hands and feet warm, you're good.
I'll tell you something. My father-in-law, God bless him, he passed away about 10 years ago. He was an avid deer hunter. And I was not. I was his son-in-law. I married into the family. And my dad didn't hunt, so I didn't hunt. And so my two sons, Walker and his brother Wesley, learned to hunt from their granddaddy, Allison's, my wife's dad. So he used to, isn't that right? He took y'all out in the woods and...
Ed, we used to go down to Grenada, Mississippi every weekend during deer season.
But here's the thing. He took me about three or four times over the years, and he asked me to go. Finally, he gave up because, number one, I didn't know how to shoot a gun, and very, very well. Anyway, he would teach me, you know, give me a little prep lesson before we go out there. And number two, I didn't like it. And... But it's hard to tell your father-in-law you don't like something he likes. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's
but
right.
I just one day said, you know, brother, I mean, Jim, I just don't want to go, man. But anyway, I just have no interest. I'm sorry, I love you, but I have no interest.
That's hard to tell your father-in-law.
Well, I don't shoot very. I mean, so what do I want to go sit out in the woods at 5 a.m. and freeze my rear end off for? I mean. That doesn't sound like something that's pleasurable to me.
All the deer hunters are going, Tim, Tim, Tim.
Well, I mean, I understand the passion. I got two boys who love it.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I understand the passion. And it's just
not there for you, is it?
To each his own. You know what I'm saying? But for me, I'd rather wait till about 1 o'clock on a semi-warm day and go hunt birdies at the golf course. That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everybody's got their own.
There's a cure for deer hunting.
What's that?
Grocery store.
Hey, the thrill. You talk to hunters like Walker and Wes. It's the thrill of the hunt.
I know.
Yeah.
And, huh?
You get those big antlers walking through the woods.
And then they do get the benefit of all the meat that you're able to So I know. I understand it. Just like I said, everybody's got their own thing. Some people fish, some people hunt, some people golf. What do you do, Fred?
Play hockey.
What do you have? See, there you go.
There you go. That's right.
Ray likes to bike.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Let's all hold hands.
Sing kumbaya. Right.
Yeah. I do remember the couple of three times I went out there with Jim. This may have been before y'all were born, Walker, before you were born. But man, I'd be just sitting out there. He'd put me in a tree. And he'd leave me. He'd leave me there.
It sounds like it left some emotional scars on your
soul.
We'd
walk into the woods. Of course, if you have no experience in this, you walk into the woods, he's taking you out. My father, like I said, I loved his daughter. She's my wife, and I want to make him happy. So
sure.
I'm going hunting with him, right? So I'm going out in the woods. So he puts me in this tree. And
leaves you.
And this is before battery operated socks. And yes, he leaves me. He leaves me there and tells me what to do. So, and you know how slow time passes when it's 22 degrees,
right?
And
your feet are freezing, and
every little branch that breaks, you yank your head around, huh? Anyway. What you're thinking about me in the woods is exactly what happened, folks. So anyway, I had no sense of time, nothing. I know my feet and hands are about to fall off, and you're about to see a grown man cry with nobody to watch him. And I guess my tears would freeze.
And you never got a deer to boot.
And I never got a deer to boot.
Never got a deer, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. I remember Duke. He would get some deer, and we'd drag them out. So, all right, enough talk about that. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What do you got, Fred? Lead us off.
Oh, things are so exciting in Washington. The House today working on the final steps of impeaching. Now, I'm saying the House. I want to correct myself. The Democrats are working on their final steps to impeach President Trump. And and now the scene is kind of slightly switching over to the Senate, where the Senate Minority Leader, Senator Chuck Schumer, is sounding like he'd like to retry things again. So, and he's a little upset that the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, had the audacity to say the other day that he is consulting with the White House on when it goes to the Senate. The Senate has the constitutional responsibility to run the trial based on whatever evidence the Democrats came up with in the House. So here is Chuck Schumer. He's really upset that McConnell is working with the White House on this, consulting with the White House. But then I'm going to play you at the end of this Chuck Schumer from 1998 when Bill Clinton was being impeached, and what Chuck Schumer thought about the Senate then consulting with the White House. Cut number 6.
He spoke publicly about what a trial may look like and said he was taking his cues from the White House. It was very partisan, very slanted, very unfair.
Any fair process would be consulting the White House because it's the president who's the defendant and due process would guarantee him or fairness. Seems to me that no good case has been made for witnesses. What we ought to be doing instead of this is doing what the American people want us to do, which is make the schools better and preserve Social Security and rein in the HMOs.
This is at least the second Democrat that we've been able to compare. Remember Congressman Nadler, who has been running the House Judiciary Committee, then and now? We played that last week. Nadler basically in 1998 was saying it ought to be a bipartisan affair. Both parties ought to agree on impeaching a president. Then when we get to the House in the last couple of weeks, Nadler is saying it doesn't matter. Republicans aren't willing to go along with us. And now you have Chuck Schumer. Let's change the rules because things are different right now because we have a Republican president. Well, Mitch McConnell, just a few minutes ago, got up in the Senate and he called out Chuck Schumer for misquoting the Constitution. Have a listen to this. Cut 7.
The Democratic leader's letter to me, by the way, by way of the press, literally misquoted the Constitution. Senator Schumer wrote that we should exercise, quote, the Senate's sole power of impeachment under the Constitution with integrity and dignity. Well, there's his problem, Mr. President. That's the role the Constitution gives, actually, to the House. If my colleague wants to read about our responsibilities here in the Senate, he needs to turn to the next page. Article 1, Section 3 says, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. The House chose this road. It's their duty to investigate. It's their duty to meet the very high bar for undoing a national election. It's not the Senate's job to leap into the breach and search desperately for ways to get the guilty.
So what was Mitch McConnell saying there? According to the Constitution, the Democrats have had their day. Mm-hmm. They have made the case that they say they believe that the president should be impeached. It's now the role of the Senate to look at the evidence that the Democrats came up with and make a decision.
Yeah, it's a waste of everyone's time to relitigate the entire House process. Mm-hmm. Not to mention there's no there. There's no crime. There's no high crime or misdemeanor. So it's funny listening to Chuck Schumer, the senator, talk about how he wants to have a fair hearing and we need to bring in our witnesses when the Democrats in the House have spent the last 3 weeks putting up roadblocks for Republicans so they can't get their witnesses in and ask the proper questions. So it's all about who's in power, and that's how Washington operates. That's why you have Chuck Schumer, Congressman Nadler from New York, and others back in the 90s during the Clinton days talking about how impeachment was unfair. This was just a political impeachment of Clinton. And here they are doing
the exact same thing. And he actually broke a law.
Well, Clinton actually lied under oath.
That's what I'm saying. When you commit perjury, lie under oath, that is a concrete breaking of a law.
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, you can make the case from a political point of view. Maybe it was or wasn't good politics to go after Bill Clinton. But I think Walker's point is the real key one here. This isn't a real impeachment. This is a political stunt by the Democrats. And the reason Chuck Schumer wants to retry the case is because they didn't get it right the first time. Mm-hmm. I think Mitch McConnell and the others, the Republicans, they ought to dispose of this as quickly as possible. Have a vote and let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And whatever you may think of the impeachment of President Clinton in hindsight, because some people would say, well, he was just lying about sex. Well, he was lying under oath, okay, whatever it is, and he's the chief law enforcement, while he was president, okay?
Right.
So while he was president. So keep in mind that. So you had, what I'm saying is, you actually had a crime.
Sure. Yes. Sure. Lying under oath is against the law.
Yes.
And the president certainly can't do that.
Right. With Donald Trump, our current president, they can't cite a crime. The Democrats throw it into this big, general broad corruption of, what do they call it?
The obstruction of Congress and abuse of power.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just throw, that isn't a crime that they're citing here. That's citing things that they object to that he did. If you got a crime, let's talk about it and let's put it down on the books.
Yeah, but they won't be specific here because, as you mentioned, obstruction of Congress is a non-existent crime. You cannot obstruct Congress as the executive branch. You're a completely
it's like
separate
the parent
branch.
Yes.
And
it's like the parent and child relationship, almost, so to speak.
Abe Hamilton, our own Abe Hamilton, made a good point the other day when I was talking to him, and he said that all of these quote obstruction of Congress charges are being litigated in the judicial branch. They're being litigated in courts on whether so and so has to testify or the president has to allow certain staff members to testify. All of those court cases are being litigated as we speak, so there's been no obstruction of Congress. And then abuse of power, how vague is that? Abuse of power, that's the go-to.
What I meant to say was it's like a parent it's like a child telling a parent, don't boss me around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It can't. That's right. Not a valid answer.
Right.
To the problem. So anyway, well, we'll see what happens with this. But I agree with Ray. This probably needs to be dispatched up pretty quickly by Mitch McConnell and
Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham has said this.
Or your other option is to take Senator Elizabeth Warren. Are there any other senators, Democrats, still in the race?
A few.
Well, I would take Warren, and I'd make her, I would make her chair some committee that, you know what I'm saying, that looks into this, and that way she couldn't be on the campaign trail and see how she likes that. We'll see. Now, speaking of Elizabeth Warren, she's none too happy, Fred, with one Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire media guy. I don't know what else his hands are in there in New York, how he made all his money, but he entered the Democratic race last week,
mm-hmm.
or 10 days ago or so, and on the Democrat side, you know, he's going to save America from Donald Trump, another person who's going to save America from Donald Trump. Mm. Oh, it's appearing more and more that America doesn't want to be saved.
No, that's for sure.
From Donald Trump, especially as the stock market keeps breaking records. But anyway, Elizabeth Warren, she's upset with Bloomberg. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Well, because as she says he made sexist comment. He's accused of having a sexist attitude while he was boss at, you know, over the years.
Okay.
And also his the corporation, Bloomberg Corporation, makes women sign NDAs. That's non-disclosure agreement. Isn't that what that is?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, why would you sign an NDA?
Well, usually that has to do with company secrets, right?
Yes.
issues having to do with either the finances of the company or their secret plans.
Pretty standard.
And stuff like that. Right.
Pretty standard. But I guess what she's suggesting here is if a woman signs an NDA, she wouldn't be able to tell if she was sexually harassed or not by her superiors at the company.
Mm-hmm.
So that would keep them from talking or get, you know.
Yeah, but you could say that about all
non-disclosure
agreements. Mm-hmm. And I would highly doubt that in the non-disclosure it says that if you're sexually assaulted, you can't report it.
Right.
Who would put that in their non-disclosure?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So Michael Bloomberg doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Right.
No. He is.
Not now, anyway.
Well, not right now. I think, you know, the Democrats are somewhat divided. If you want to call Joe Biden a moderate. So it seems, according to the latest polls, that the so-called moderates of the Democrat Party are falling underneath Joe Biden. He's doing quite well in the polls lately. And then on the left side, and I mean the far, far, far left side, you have kind of a race between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren on the far left.
Mm-hmm.
And the squad, of course, they're endorsing Bernie Sanders. So they have big problems. Elizabeth Warren has fallen in the polls over the last couple of weeks. She's trying to regain a little bit of traction there, but I think from the very beginning that she was not a good candidate. And I think the Democrats have been doing some internal polling, and they know she cannot beat Donald Trump, period. She can't.
Ray, do you even think 20% of Americans know who Michael Bloomberg is?
No. No. Okay. And if they do, all they know is he's a billionaire.
Right.
And that's not enough to be elected president. I mean,
right.
who even knows what he really stands for? He's going, where is he at in the polls right now? I mean, he's going nowhere, right?
He's got five.
He'll flame 5%. Out.
Yeah.
He'll flame out pretty good. I don't know that he ever flamed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you have to flame before you can out.
So I don't know that, you know, I don't know if I have to
wonder if the Democrats thought that Michael Bloomberg thought that, hey, Donald Trump was a billionaire with no political experience And he won his party nomination. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm a used to be Republican, now a Democrat, and I got even more money than Donald Trump. Maybe I can repeat it on the Democrat side. Well, we're finding out that that's just not going to happen.
I tell you what, I don't remember following presidential politics for now. I'm 56, so I've been interested, so at least for 40 years. My first election I remember was Humphrey and Nixon. Was it Nixon? Humphrey and Nixon. Was that be 68?
Right, 68. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would have been 5 years old, and I was a political prodigy then. So I mean, I knew about things. So I was ahead of my time. You know what I'm saying? Still went outside, played kick the can, rode my bike, but I followed politics. But here's the deal: I can't remember since that time ever having a field, one of the major parties, Republican or Democrat, mm-hmm. with a number of candidates to select from, but so poor a field.
Yeah.
Of candidates that the Democrats are putting forward right now. Usually there's somebody who's a star.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
With Obama and Clinton, it was two of them. Mm-hmm. For the Democrats. Well, I'm not, whether you like them or not, they were. Sure. They were the stars, sure, of the party.
Yeah.
So Trump rose as the star of the Republican Party. There's always somebody, but with this bunch here, Ray, this is, I feel like I'm watching the, you know, Rudolph, and I've come the to the Island cards, of the Misfits. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Biden's in the lead, right? So
well,
is he still, I mean, worth, as of today, he's still the odds-on favorite to be the Democratic candidate, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
I think that's true. But we know what state he's in. Huh?
The state of confusion.
Yeah. State of confusion.
This is a very bizarre situation, because typically you have people like President Obama and others who come out even after they left office and kind of get behind someone and champion them. But with this, President Obama's retired, so to speak, and here the Democrats are, you know, fighting it out, and there's no clear leader. There's right. and it hasn't been that way since Obama left. There's been no clear leader.
Hey, if this was Island of the Misfits, just to carry this on, just a minute, do you think Joe Biden would be the Jack in the Box? You remember that one? You remember that scene? There's the Jack in the Box. What else is on there?
I'm not.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Brett doesn't even know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What is the Island of the Misfits?
If they don't know what you're talking about, then I for sure don't know.
I am not.
You stumped us all, Tim.
Okay.
And this is Tim's. Well, this is Tim's world.
There are people. The majority of people listening to us right now know exactly what I'm talking about.
Is that right?
Yes.
The majority.
Go type. Walker, Google okay. right now. Google right
the,
now.
Brett,
go ahead,
Facebook
Ray.
Feed.
You Google too. I can't believe, Ray, you don't know what I'm talking about.
What do you mean to go?
Type in Island
in the
of the Misfits. Type that in and see what you get. Type right there. There it is. All Rudolph, right. The Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Island of the Misfits. Now click it on while we're on the break. You can watch right. it. Click it on.
This is you're saying it's about Christmas? Is that what
yeah,
you're saying?
Type. Did you type in Island of the Misfits like I told you?
No, but I'm going
NBC
to during the break.
NBC 1964.
Okay type Island of the Misfits in,
okay.
Ray.
All right. Okay,
and
I will.
It's from Rudolph, the original Rudolph.
All right.
And you watch that scene, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, that reminds me of the Democrat field of candidates right now. All right, we'll be back. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Okay.
With
see
more.
You see you with more.
More Misfits.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
See, everything is cool as long as you're bound in sin. As long as you're willing to club with everybody else. As long as you're willing to get sloppy drunk with everybody else. As long as you're willing to sleep around with everybody else. But the minute you are bearing evidence of the power of Jesus, now Your reputation is assassinated.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our spiritual heritage tours are coming up in 2020 in June and September. I'm just going to go through the days here that and what we see. On Wednesday, we go out to dinner at Old Town Alexandria, and we go to the World War II Memorial. On Thursday, we go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Korean and Vietnam Memorials. On Friday, we go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, Jefferson Memorial, National Archives, and on Saturday, we go to Mount Vernon. Okay, so there you go. I got it all in. You can go and read about all this at our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. That's our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in June, and then another one in September. And then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University. Hallmark has decided to don its gay apparel after all. The family-friendly network announced it will now broadcast television commercials featuring kissing lesbians. The ads for Zola, a wedding planning site, were initially pulled after 1 million moms launched a petition drive. However, Hallmark CEO Mike Parry says that decision was a mistake. He apologized and then announced Hallmark will partner with LGBT activists to integrate gay programming across its platforms. Hallmark's decision came just hours after Democrat presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg blasted the network's decision. The reality is the sex and gender revolutionaries want to indoctrinate your children, whether they're eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich or watching the Hallmark Channel. Be sure to download the latest edition of the Toddcast podcast with special guest Governor Mike Huckabee. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Merry Christmas from Today's Issues.
Anybody know?
That was Ray's album from last year.
Well, who knew? Hey, yeah, right.
It's stunning news to all of us.
Who knew? Well,
hey Tim, yeah, I have checked on Facebook, our Facebook page. You're right. Everybody except me and Fred Walker know what you're talking about.
We're behind the times.
Thank you. I'm vindicated by our Facebook fans out there.
They all know what it is.
Everybody knows. Well, you know what? I can see how you would have that would have escaped you because what are you? I'm 56. What are you? 60 something?
67.
Okay, you're 67. Fred's
65.
Okay,
I'm so just a few years younger
okay.
than that.
Yes. So here's the point. This video would have been probably
64.
So I was born in 63. So that's right in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Of children's animated stuff.
Well, okay. Look, I went on you know, Google, and it was talking about something that came out in 2001 with
maybe there Richard. Was a remake of it.
Okay,
but so you guys would have missed it. You would have been too cool to be watching.
I missed it both times.
You'd have been too cool. Yes,
I was just a
Walker
bit
wasn't
too
even
young.
Born.
I was a little too young to be watching.
So
that.
He, by that time came around, you had Barney probably going wild.
Yeah.
So, but the whole how this all started, ladies and gentlemen, in case you.
Just joined us.
It's because
confused.
I said that this field of Democratic candidates reminds me of the Island of the Misfit Toys on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which included
a Charlie in the Box, not a Jack in the Box, get it, the misfit Charlie part, a Scooter for Jimmy, a Dolly for Sue, a Spotted Elephant, a train spotted with square elephant wheels on his caboose. You see what I'm saying?
What?
That's what I'm saying. That's the point.
Okay, so nothing makes sense, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's a misfit.
Okay. Okay. That. Okay.
A water pistol that squirts jelly. A bird. A bird that this. And these people weren't on drugs when they did this.
Fred, how did we miss this?
A bird.
I don't know.
A bird that swims and a cowboy who rides an ostrich.
Man,
those were the toys that got picked up on the island of the misfits. Anyway, you have to watch the complete video to the complete 28 minutes of Rudolph to fully appreciate that.
I bet you Sandy Rios knows.
Yeah,
about
I was just thinking, we got to ask Sandy.
I don't think she does, actually.
Does she know
Sandy
about the Island of Misfits?
Good morning, Sandy.
You know, I'm a lot younger than you guys. And I'm like Walker. I miss that because it's just before my time. I don't even remember the movie. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Sandy,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is her hand up? Are you under oath? That's what I want to know here.
I'm under something.
Sandy, in today's world, the under oath doesn't really mean much anymore.
But that's true. I figured I'm following the path of James Comey. I don't know. That was so many layers below me. That was at least seven layers below my pay grade. So don't ask me about things that are beneath me like that.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't be responsible for that.
Okay. No.
Other people like Tim.
All right. I'm exhausted from having to explain this baby boomer stuff for you guys. The late baby boomer stuff. I know you guys fall into the early baby boomer years. All right. You brought his name up, Sandy. We did, and James Comey.
Oh, did I really? Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
I want to ask
Tried
you about
to ruin your Christmas celebration.
What? Well, I watched him interviewed by
Chris Wallace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I watched it last night, and this was on Sunday, and he was admitting that he was wrong about the FISA report, the FISA court application process, and that it was abused by his colleagues there at the FBI. Now, again, let me remind folks, they hear the word FISA, that's not really a word, it's an acronym, and you wonder, what are they really talking about? Keep in mind here, folks, we're talking about FISA stands for Foreign Walker
Intelligence Surveillance Court, okay. Or Act.
Foreign Intelligence Surveillance
Act.
Okay, so this is some federal judges specially appointed to approve spying on people who are terrorists. Okay, that's what this was created for.
After 9/11, yeah.
Huh? This was created for. This is what was used against Donald Trump and his campaign through Carter Page, the gentleman who was working with the Trump campaign. So anyway, James Comey was in charge of the FBI when this was going on. And now basically he says, yeah, I got it wrong, Sandy, but sorry about that. And we're talking about... what I'm saying, his answer seemed rather flippant to me when we're talking about something that basically he disavowed for 2 years, and that is there were abuses at the FBI. And it also, to me, yesterday when I saw this interview from Sunday with James Comey, it lacked the appreciation for the seriousness of the matter, or at least he pretended not to be too bothered about it. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I actually think the only thing he really owned up to, Tim, was about Carter Page. The fact that they surveilled Carter Page, and the Carter Page was actually a CIA asset. And they knew that, but they changed the FISA application to say that he was, they'd blocked that out and opened him up. They totally abridged his Fourth Amendment rights. They totally violated them. So James Comey said that was, and it was a mistake, you see. I mean, it wasn't, remember when Chris Wallace threw up to him about the attorney, the FBI attorney, changing the form, and I don't know that they spelled it out this way, but to make it seem like Carter Page was dealing with Russians and leaving out the part that he was doing that on behalf of the CIA. Mm-hmm. So James Comey said, oh, that hasn't been proven. We don't know. I mean, that's just a, we don't know that yet. Well, it was the inspector general who found that out. the whole interview was, I think, let me ask you, can I ask you a question, Tim? Can I interview you?
Yes, go ahead.
You're watching, and I'm assuming you have, I know you have the capability of being objective. Mm-hmm. So as an objective person, at least trying to be, watching that, were you convinced by Comey that he was innocent? No, 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 that's not, the FBI didn't do anything wrong. The IG report, you know, justified and said that we had a reason to surveil and that there was no political bias. And
no, well,
were you convinced of that when he said it?
The fella, Mr. Comey, strikes me as a little delusional or something. I don't know. He's a smart guy. He got to be the FBI director. I mean, he's got a career in this. But when you if he can't see the collective scenario here, from Strzok to Pay to what was her name?
Lisa Page
to McCabe, wife getting money from Hillary Clinton, from what was the other fellow's name who left, who was going to wear a wiretap to go
Rosenstein.
From Comey himself saying, when President Trump, before he even got the curtains up in the White House, I sent two agents over there to try to get him, to try to basically trap him. That's what I got out of it. And he was bragging about this. James Comey was bragging about doing this.
Yeah,
did you? So you put, what I'm saying is, you put all this together with the IG's report, and you go, I'm saying to myself, dude, excuse the common man English, you need to wake up and see what everybody else sees here, what happened here. Even Democrats and some of the media are saying, you know, this was a terrible abuse of power by the FBI. And he's acting like, oh, you know, doggone it, we forgot to cross some T's and dot some I's in the report.
Well, Tim, anyway, I honestly think the reason he is responding the way he is, my speculation is that, oh, he hasn't. Trust me, he knows all of this. You remember, yes. He's the guy that failed. He lied to the president three times when the president asked him if he was under investigation.
Right.
He lied. Mm-hmm. And at each time he talked to the president, he would go down to the car waiting for him, take his device, and type up meticulous notes. Mm-hmm. And then he met with this group that was working, what did they call it, Operation?
Crossfire Hurricane.
Crossfire Hurricane. He met with those guys after he met with the president. So don't tell me he's seven layers down. So my point is, he's up to his ears in this.
Yeah.
I think he is so arrogant.
Yes.
He still thinks he can lie his way through it and you won't notice because, he's just an aw-shucks kind of nice guy. And how dare they accuse him of, you know, lying. I mean, he's not just deluded, he's arrogant. Mm-hmm. And I also think, just analyzing, again, this is not a political analysis, this is a human nature analysis, he's a very big man, and he's a good-looking man, and he's probably always been a pet, kind of like a beautiful woman. Like, he's so overwhelming when he walks into the room, and he's likable, he's got a nice smile, he has a nice manner about him, and he's probably been very competent academically. I bet he's never had his hand slapped. I bet he's never, been in the company of men who would push back or put him in his place. Look, he's got a history of prosecuting corporations and people that is shameful. He doesn't have a good past, and neither does Mueller.
Okay.
They are not the champions on a white horse, and they have never been. But I don't think anybody has ever dared to call them out.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. He's still got to deal with. Then the other part was, to me, is when we learned that James Comey, when he left the FBI, or got fired by Donald Trump, then President Trump. He fired him, and then James Comey went next door and gave some information or notes that he had taken while he was on the job to his next door neighbor, saying, take this to the media,
New York Times specifically,
so that we can get a special counsel investigation of president, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
So I mean,
and so the very next day Mueller was appointed. His very good friend.
I mean,
his very good friend is overseeing the investigation of him.
In the words of some of the ESPN, when you hear this, and he denies all this stuff, you just go, I mean, he denies political motives. You just go, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. Let's just quit the pretending here. What I get from all this, as I've said before, is James Comey and the FBI there and all the players that we've mentioned here many times, they saw themselves, and this is the best motive I can impugn, and they saw themselves as saving America from itself. Surely America doesn't want Donald Trump as their president. We must.
Yeah.
We must stop him.
We know better.
Yes. Kind of like the League of, you know, the Marvel or whatever it is, League of Nations, when all the superheroes gather around and we must intervene to save the world.
Yeah.
I think that's the attitude that they
And I will say that the media and even some of the actors here have tried to downplay this as a lower level operation that went rogue, and maybe there were some paperwork misfilings and things like that, but this was handled at the top of the top.
This
was handled by the director of the FBI and top FBI agents in Washington, D.C. So this was not a low-level field agent mistake that we're sorry about.
As I said, they were out. I'll just put it in plain English. This is my belief. They were out to get Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's all of them. They were out to get him, no matter what it took to do it. Go ahead, Fred.
You know,
Fred, then Sandy, then Ray.
I just have one question for Sandy. Do you believe, Sandy, and you've been tracking this for a long time, do you believe that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and then President Barack Obama were aware of all of this?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even have to hesitate. We know that from Lisa Page and Peter Strzok's email texts or whatever. They say POTUS wants to know everything in one of the exchanges they had. Now, who is POTUS? Let's see. Let me think. That was Barack Obama.
Yeah, we only have one at a time. So that would have she was talking about Barack Obama.
Yes.
He wants to know everything that's going on with the investigation, right? With the hurricane.
Crossfire hurricane.
That's the inference, of course, because that's what they're working on.
Has he ever been asked about that?
Barack Obama?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
not
we
to
can't
my knowledge.
Do that. Oh, my goodness, Tim. You can't do that. You can't accuse James Comey of lying or... you can't do these people are above the law and they know better. They are the great ones. So it's pretty. Let me go back for a second, though, because in regard to the FBI and it being who was perpetrating this, yes, it was the top leadership. The rank and file FBI, I'm sure they're not all wonderful people. They can't possibly be. No organization is. But recall, if you will, that the FBI agents in the New York field office and along with the police, when they went, they saw Anthony Weiner's laptop and saw all of Hillary Clinton's email downloaded there and realized that the FBI they actually gave the laptop back and never did anything about that investigation. They went in full revolt, and that was right before the election. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
They were going to resign, and they were so furious, and that was all tapped down. And it came out. I mean, some people that I knew about it, and it was talked about somewhat, but they tapped down that story. That's the kind of rank and file. They would never have done what their bosses did. And so it's all on the shoulders of that top team. And they need to be purged. That's all I can say, including Christopher Wray. He needs to be purged, too.
Purged and or prosecuted.
Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ray.
Well, number one, I think Sandy's points about James Comey are exactly right. He didn't help himself at all in that interview or interviews over the weekend. He looks like a man who either doesn't know what's going on or is just lying through his teeth because he thinks he can get away with it. They're really asking us, not just him, but they're really asking us to believe that these, 17 errors that they have admitted to, we know there were more, but the 17 they've admitted to, these don't matter because they happen completely by chance. That is implausible to the impartial observer. They're completely unbelievable. No, the higher-ups were in on the deal from the beginning. It's corrupt from top to bottom.
Yeah. Okay, if these were honest mistakes by the FBI, and you have 17 of them cited by the Inspector General, Wouldn't you think maybe 8 break for Trump and 8 break against Trump? I know that's 16, but you get the idea.
Sure.
You know what I'm
sure.
saying? Because right. human error knows no
right.
political.
It's going to go this motivation. Way and that way.
No.
Sure.
No. No. As Chris Wallace, Brett Hume pointed out, you know, and others have too, 17 mistakes were made, and every single one of them worked to the disadvantage of President Trump. Okay, 17, and the score was 17-0.
Right.
With all the errors that were made, you know, innocently, not a one of them went in Trump's favor. So this is all a bunch. I can't, you know, I tell you who's going to get to the bottom of it is Durham, the guy that William Barr has appointed, John Durham. Mm-hmm. All right, Sandy, thanks for being on with us, and go watch your YouTube clip of the Island of the Misfit Toys. I think you'll be inspired.
I just might. I could use some refreshing and some intellectual stimulation.
Oh, you do that. Thank you, Sandy. God bless you.
Okay. Yeah, Merry Christmas, you guys.
Okay, Merry Christmas. That's our friend and colleague, Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she's the host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Each weekday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. You're listening to AFR. If folks want to watch us on the internet, Walker, or get our stories that we're talking about, what can they do?
Yeah, you can watch us on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. And if you want to get read the stories, our producer Brent will post them on our Facebook page. Just go to our Facebook page and you'll find all the news stories posted there that we talked
about. Next story, Fred.
Well, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, one of the greatest groups in the country, Christian groups in the country. They stand strong for biblical principles. And
you remember the FCA, right, Walker?
Yeah, at my high school.
Yeah. Bozeman, Montana. That high school there, they've had a chapter of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for 5 years. Back several months ago, 4 female students there went before the school district, and said, we don't want the FCA on our campus anymore because they're not inclusive enough. And they pointed in particular to the national statement of faith by the FCA that says marriage should only be between a man and a woman.
Okay, this is what I thought it was. This is an LGBT thing?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
So here we go. So the school district says, lady students, we agree with you. Our high school wants to be a place of inclusiveness. Therefore, they said to the FCA chapter there, we don't want you on campus anymore unless you get in line and stop being part, change your name, don't be part of the FCA anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can exist off campus if you want, but here's the condition they put on. November 21st, Bozeman High School revoked FCA status as a school-sponsored club, treated them as an off-campus business and organization, and required their flyers bear a yellow sticker highlighting their non-school-sponsored status. Oh, does that sound kind of scary to you?
Scarlet A.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a sticker.
A yellow sticker on their flyers.
This is... But they're being defended. The FCA chapter there in Bozeman is being defended by the Alliance Defending Freedom,
the ADF,
our good friends there.
They're being and they've sent a letter to the school saying, "Wait a minute, you simply can't do this."
Yeah.
The FCA has the same right. They have over 30 other clubs on that campus.
Right.
I would dare say the FCA doesn't forbid anybody from coming to their meetings.
No.
Huh?
Right. No, anybody can come to their meeting.
Now, their leaders have to be Christians.
Yeah, their leaders have to be Christian. And what these people who are complaining, these LGBT folks?
Well, the 4 students are just female students. That's how they're identified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but they're speaking on behalf of.
Okay. But what they're saying is, because you won't allow for homosexuals to be leaders in the FCA, you're discriminatory. Therefore, you need to be forbidden from the school, right?
Yeah. But there was one other thing these 4 girls said. The girls also opposed FCA's sexual purity pledge, which requires students to be abstinent before marriage and not have homosexual relations.
So don't go to the meetings, all right?
Don't join that club.
Don't join that club. And it's a volunteer situation. And if you got the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, guess what? The leaders have a right to be to the organization has a right to require their leaders to be what? Christians. Christians. Huh?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, this is just, I think they'll win this one. This is in Bozeman, Montana.
Bozeman, Montana, yeah.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes. See what they're, this is what's happening. This is what Chick-fil-A did.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A, and by the way, I feel sorry for a lot of the Chick-fil-A owners, franchise owners, because they're kind of caught in the middle in all this. But the Chick-fil-A Corporation, Dan Cathy, the CEO, what they did was they shamed the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The Chick-fil-A did because they quit funding, they quit sponsoring or funding, making donations to the FCA, and they told the world that they stopped. Chick-fil-A did. By the way, we've written Dan Cathy and asked him to come on this program to explain, because this is just a very painful experience for a lot of Christians who've supported Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A won't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Right.
I don't know if Dan Cathy's hiding under his desk or what he's doing.
Right.
But he won't even talk to the public. Mm-hmm. The Christian public who supported Chick-fil-A, he won't even talk.
Right.
So, anyway, the point is, this is the same thing. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is being targeted because they have a mission statement or a doctrinal statement that supports biblical morality when it comes to human sexuality. That's the only reason they're being targeted.
Yep.
FCA is not a, quote, controversial group. They don't get involved in policy fights or political fights like we do here.
Right.
Okay? It's just it's a fellowship on campus for Christian athletes to have speakers and devotions and to help each other get closer to Christ. That's all it's there for. But because they have a mission statement on their website, that's what these LGBT activists are going after them for, because they're saying, see there, you're exclusionary, you're discriminatory, you're a hate group because you won't embrace our movement.
Mm-hmm.
This is where this is playing out on campus. Ray, any thoughts on my sermon right
well,
there?
No, amen. Look, okay. There's no place to run and no place to hide. The battle lines are being drawn all across the culture. And anybody who says, I don't want to take a stand, you're going to be swept away.
Right.
There's no middle ground anymore.
Right.
If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to stand up for biblical values like traditional marriage, you are going to be at the center of a hurricane. And you had better plant your feet firmly, because the battle's going to come right to you.
The school district should be ashamed of themselves for bowing to this. They should have told those four girls to go back to your class.
Yes.
Yeah.
The FCA's been here forever, and they're going to be here. They're doing nothing wrong. Yep. If you don't want to be a part of it, don't go to their meetings.
Yeah, and I'm thankful we have groups like
ADF,
First Liberty, Liberty Council, others who are Pacific Justice Institute, who are defending students like this, really defending people of faith all across the country. And we have a constitution that protects our rights.
Yeah, we're watching this story very closely. The ADF has given the school district until tomorrow, December 18th, to either get right or they're going to be sued.
All right, thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Thank you, folks, for listening. Walker, Ray, and I shall return with Steve Jordahl is on deck. That's in 5 minutes after the news. And we'll see you back here then. Take care.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.